Jim Kirk Smells Delicious by Little Dove Big World, Diamond Dove. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. The first time Sam Kirk's brother visited the ship was the first time Spock smelled it. He was deep in concentration, bent over his console, when Una brought the man through the bridge as part of his welcoming tour. Spock got just the smallest whiff. A smell like no other, layered and complex. The only way he could describe it was freshly baked bread home-cooked by his mother. The recipe had been from her mother, and nothing else in the world smelled like that bread. Along with this, he could detect hints of the sea. He had visited only once as a child. Vulcan didn't have seas. His first time standing before one was a memory he had never forgotten. It was rich, alive, the scent heavy and moist. It invoked the feeling that he could live forever, and that he stood before a terrible power. It was freeing, wonderful, and strange. There was an end note of what he could only describe as his father's embassy garden, the smell of desert rose, night creeper, and herbs. It took three consecutive ship stays before Spock realized Jim Kirk was the source of the smell, and then only because they had begun to spend time together.
"Your move, Jim," Spock said.
The man held a drink in one hand, his other absently tapping the table where the three pawns and a knight he had taken sat. A loud noise interrupted his thoughts. Turning his head and angling his long, graceful neck, he looked across at the disturbance. It was Christine and La'an laughing. Spock smelled it, like safety, home, anticipation, and promise. He swallowed thickly. It was definitely Jim, and this close, it was clear the smell was undeniably pheromonal. Spock had to admit this close, and not just in passing, it was working for him. He hadn't realized how good Jim Kirk smelled when he was excited about someone. He buried this thought deep. The group of women laughing and chatting together must have been what set it off, and that was Jim's business. Spock had once found some attraction to Christine, he could understand. Why he was so attuned to Jim's pheromones was another question unto itself. But Jim was not an unattractive man, and Spock's newly unbonded mind had been doing strange things lately. Spock shook himself from his musings and flicked his eyes back to the man in front of him. To his surprise, Jim was not looking at the commotion across the room, but directly at him. His gaze was intense, and Spock found he could not look away. A long moment passed, and Jim dropped his eyes to the board. "You caught me, Mr. Spock. I was deciding how I should kick your ass."
"Chess is not a physical game," Spock pointed out.
Jim laughed. "Of course not." The scent surrounded Spock stronger than ever. He lost that game. The Enterprise was in space dock for some minor upgrades. Most of the crew had gone off ship for some R&R, and unfortunately Spock found himself to be among them. He much preferred the ship during circumstances such as these. It was quiet, calm. He could move around the halls without having to stop and engage in conversation. He, however, was committed to experimenting with his human side, and that meant taking leave off ship. Chapel and Ortegas were more than happy to fill his time with human-approved shore leave activities, so he found himself sitting stiffly in the corner of a bar. He was drinking a pink cocktail and watching the two women sway to the music on the dance floor. Neither his human side nor his Vulcan side could muster any interest in dancing, so he spent his time watching the other patrons pass by. The majority of people in the bar were human, and Spock studied them carefully. Their open smiles, their wide, expansive gestures, the way they leaned into each other as they talked. It did nothing to lessen his confusion about his other half. Chapel had told him he couldn't think his way into acting human. He needed to feel it. He sighed. He wondered if the science archives were still open at this time of night. He was just about to rise and make his excuses to the others when he smelled something different. Instead of the smell of sweat, alcohol, and human musk, he smelled something nostalgic, something good. He turned his head towards the smell, trying to place it. Jim Kirk slid into the booth beside him, and the smell intensified. It was such a complex and lovely scent, he found himself leaning forward before he even knew who it was who joined him.
"Hey, fancy seeing you here," Jim said.
He clapped him on the back, and Spock was surprised to find he was not bothered by this.
"I am experimenting with different human pastimes. It is not going well," he admitted.
Jim laughed. "Not your cup of tea?" he asked.
Spock raised an eyebrow. "I am not drinking tea. What I am consuming is not bad. A bit bitter due to the high alcohol content. However, the noise is difficult."
Jim smiled.
"Come with me, then. I know something you'll like."
Spock stood before he could think about what he was doing. After a quick goodbye to Chapel and Ortegas, complete with inexplicable smirks on their part, he followed Jim out the door. They walked down a smaller passageway. The smell of the other man was even stronger here, away from competing smells, and Spock had to consciously stop himself from moving closer.
They stopped before a nondescript door.
"Here," Jim said. He pressed the panel on the wall, and it retracted to reveal a small room. One whole wall was a porthole, and the stars shone stark and bright, lighting the room in an unearthly white. From this vantage point, the space dock was spread out under them in long lines, as if they were sitting on the pinnacle of it. The domes stuck out, green disks on either side, like a vast metal alloy tree. Spock was drawn to this view without words, and he drank deeply of its splendor. He noticed that at some point Jim had sidled up next to him, before the pane of glass. In the small room, the smell was almost overpowering. Spock understood why Jim would smell extra delicious at the bar. There were plenty of carnal distractions. Here there was nothing but the stars. He found he was too distracted to parse this out. The Enterprise had not been a safe or fun place for Spock in the past 22 hours. At any moment, anyone, including himself, could break into an emotional music number. Just the thought itself turned his stomach. And this was before he thought about the fact he had participated in two songs already. He wished to hide in his quarters until this whole fiasco was over, but he knew that was unbecoming of a Starfleet officer. Nevertheless, he absolutely hid in the engine room as often as he was able. This is where he was when he smelled the unmistakable scent of his acquaintance? Friend, Jim. Spock found that he did in fact think of Jim as a friend. He wondered not for the first time if it was because he found the man distractingly good-smelling. It was, in a way, embarrassing. But he resolved to not belittle his Vulcan side. Smelling one's potential mates was essential for good bond formation. Spock shook these thoughts away.
"What are you doing?"
Jim stood right beside him. He was smiling, but his brow was slightly crinkled. "Whatever it was, you must have been deep in concentration. I've called your name twice." Jim looked so guileless and attentive that Spock lost his words again. He took a deep breath. What was he doing? He looked down at his pad. "I am attempting to find a correlating factor for the musical interludes that have been afflicting the crew," he finally said. Jim grimaced. "The sooner we figure something, anything, out about this, the better. I was just singing and dancing with Lieutenant Commander Chin Riley. Number one, we had a duet." He put his head in his hands. Spock made a note of this on his pad. It would explain why Jim's wonderful smell preceded him as he entered. The lieutenant commander was not unattractive, he supposed, if he thought about it in a purely logical way. Jim sat. "Need help?" Spock took a breath. There was no reason he couldn't enjoy this moment.
"Yes."
"Oh, you're here late," Jim said. Spock looked up, startled, from where he was bent over a microscope looking at samples. He nodded. "I am, Lieutenant." "It's the middle of the night. Call me Jim," Jim said. He walked over and stood next to Spock, all flushed cheeks and sunshine smile. It was enough to overwhelm Spock. Then he was hit with Jim's scent and he was gone. He sat heavily on a nearby stool. Jim put his hand on Spock's shoulder. "You should go to bed," he said. Spock nodded faintly, his thoughts heady and swimming. "What's the status?" Jim asked. Spock's hands danced across the console.
"I don't know," he admitted.
"The shuttle is not responding."
"Could it be—"
Jim cut himself off, looking down at the planet within the port view.
"Shit!"
Spock mirrored this sentiment silently. The planet was emitting some sort of radiation. It had already done a number on both the Enterprise's and the Farragut's systems. It was the reason they were using a shuttle to collect Jim for his next round of command training instead of the transporter.
"But the radiation has only been affecting ship communications," Jim muttered to himself.
He pulled up a screen and started typing.
"I'm getting error messages system-wide."
"I have completely lost helm control," Spock said by way of agreement. "The shuttle has less shielding than the larger ships. It appears the radiation has a greater effect."
He glanced at the port window to the planet looming beside them. They were well within its gravitational pull by now. They had been drifting toward it as they attempted to troubleshoot the shuttle's failure.
Spock turned back to Jim. His eyes were on the planet, too, their unusual sunshine honed into something sharp and liable to burn. Seeing that sharpness, Spock found himself strangely calmed. When Jim opened his mouth, Spock fully expected to hear the answer, clear and ringing, fall from Jim's lips.
"Well, double shit," Jim said, throwing up his hands and leaning back in his chair.
Spock found this reaction humorous. He did not, however, laugh. He didn't think Jim would be interested in his attempts at acting more human at this time. He ran another diagnostic. The closer they got to the planet, the stronger the radiation was, and the more it affected them. They were basically dead in the air. They entered the atmosphere, and the hull was blasted with heat. Jim reached around Spock, disengaging the automatic controls to the ailerons on each warp nacelle. It wasn't much. The shuttle was basically a box with engines, but at least they'd have some control when they hit the lower atmosphere.
"I don't suppose you remember your basic emergency training," Jim said.
His eyes were wild and his smile bright. Spock couldn't help quirking an eyebrow as he turned his head to hide his own smile. He caught a whiff of something unique and wonderfully familiar: bread, growing things, and the sea, or a scent he had come to know as Jim Kirk. It made sense. They were in the heat of the moment, and humans were prone to all sorts of emotions. Jim looked beautiful this way. Spock pushed the thought firmly aside and focused on getting them safely out of the sky. It seemed both Spock and Jim remembered their basic emergency training, or luck and flat land were on their side because they managed to land the shuttle. It cut through 2 kilometers of pale bluish-green reeds and came to a stop in the middle of a grassy steppe. After 20 minutes of walking, they came to a clearing of trees. They were tall and spindly-looking. The branches were no more than a finger's width around. Spock was not letting that bother him. It would take 60.5 armfuls to have enough to sustain a fire for any length of time. However, Spock was a good Vulcan, and he refused to feel frustration over this fact. Jim's task was to set up the emergency tent. He had not started yet. Spock bent again to pick up another thin stick, then again and again. The smell of bread, herbs, and the sea surrounded him, Jim's unique and wonderful smell. He couldn't understand why he was smelling it now. There was nothing to excite a normal human on this empty planet. But perhaps Jim was no ordinary human. Perhaps he experienced wonder, awe, even in the most barren landscapes, so long as he could see the stars. Spock bent again and grabbed another stick. Spock stood and looked at the falling water. It cascaded off the limestone outcropping in a thin stream and splashed with a sound like music into the pool below. Under the fall itself, the water was deep and dark, but the rest spread out in a shallow sandy pool. The sunlight hit the falling water just so, making it wink and sparkle with crystalline light. It was breathtakingly beautiful, and Spock couldn't control the small smile that spread across his lips. He didn't fight it. He was attempting to incorporate more expression into his daily life. Normally, doing so was slightly off-putting. He felt like he was on display. But with only Jim around, he found it was easy, freeing, even. He was not able to place why this was so. Then he smelled it, the scent of the sea, home-baked bread, and safety. He looked to the side and saw Jim standing there. "Jim?" he asked. Human males were prone to feelings of lust at random times, but Jim was doing nothing but looking at him. Jim's eyes were soft. "Yeah," he said. He did not look away. The smell was so strong now. Spock took an unsteady breath. His throat was dry and he suddenly didn't know what he meant to query Jim about. His confusion must have shown because Jim smiled. He reached over and put his hand on Spock's shoulder. Spock leaned into the touch without thinking. It was only when Jim stepped closer that he realized he had almost turned into the man, snuggling against his side. Spock stiffened and made to pull away. He felt a hand on his cheek. The skin contact brought a burst of emotions not his own. Fondness. Anticipation. Love. His breath caught. Then Spock felt Jim's lips next, so gentle to be barely noticeable. The emotions Spock received through the touch were no less powerful, though, heightened by the intimacy of the touch. Spock swayed forward as if suddenly boneless, and Jim connected their lips once more before pulling away. "We should probably talk about this," he said. His cheeks were flushed, and Spock knew his own were in a similar state. He nodded dumbly, trying to process the moment. Jim turned back to the falling water. "Later," he said. "Let's just enjoy the moment." Spock watched Jim. Did he feel similarly? Could that delicious smell be because of him? Spock closed his eyes and breathed deep. Jim was beautiful like this. The moment, perfect. They could talk later. But for now, he let his eyes skim over the bubbling water, the little tent they'd set up for the two of them, the wash of blue-green grass and the dark shape of the shuttle in the distance, its homing beacon flashing bright as the familiar twinkling stars. Jim was beautiful, not despite him, but for him. How has he not noticed before? The end.